Mic is on. So let's get ourselves organized here. And today's title is Making Yourself Available. That is what we are going to talk about. And we're referencing, for those of you who would like to use your Bible or your phone, it'll be Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 and 19, and Matthew 15, verses 32 through 37. And those are the scriptures that are associated with the feeding of the 5 and 4,000. So that will be our primary scriptures we'll look at today. Jesus understood about being inconvenienced. Throughout his ministry, wherever he was going, he had to stop. He had to minister. And always saying yes to God, no matter what the situation was. I mean, he is the living example of us being inconvenienced to be able to minister the gospel. And there have been times in my life where I've been inconvenienced in situations where I have to serve God and I had to take a breath and move ahead. But then there's a blessing that comes with it afterward, whatever it may be. But one of my favorite lines is, my time is of great value. And maybe some of you use that too. In certain situations, and even before you start the day, or even before you come to service on Sunday morning, you have something said in the back of your mind that may be more important than what's going on at the service, and it's just the human nature in us. Some of my early recollections of being inconvenienced, I was thinking to myself as growing up, was we had one bathroom and five people, but somehow we did it. We put our shifts together and we used the bathroom. We had one phone in the kitchen with five people. However, I had a relative that lived nearby. If I needed to make that personal call, so to speak, I'd go down there and use Aunt Mary's phone. Thank you, Aunt Mary. And we didn't have a remote for years for the TV. It was none of click it and move it. It was get up off your seat and move it and turn the channel and turn the antenna to whatever we wanted. And this time of year, there was no air conditioning. You just roll down the windows and let it roll. But you know, we somehow worked around it, didn't we? And those different inconveniences in our life and what we have today. In the chapters of Matthew, Jesus feeding the 4,000 and 5,000, Jesus in both those situations is trying to make time for himself. However, he saw the needs of the people. He saw what they needed, and he had compassion, which is really the key word in our teaching this morning. That godly interruption in our personal time to address a need before us is what Jesus was always experiencing in his ministry, right up to the cross as well, dying for our sin on the cross. And are we up to that challenge? Let's see here. Am I pointing the right way? There I am. This is just a personal thought, a revelation. Jesus ministered to anyone. There were no cultural favorites when Jesus was ministering here on earth. And what I've thought is that there's no social divide in the eyes of our Lord. There is nothing in Jesus that prevented him, whatever culture he was dealing with or whatever ethnic race he was dealing with, you know, going throughout the Roman Empire, that stopped him from ministering. And I guess that's the example that we can think about today, you know, as we deal in our current situation as a church body, doing these outreaches, not just here, as people are coming into our church, but as we continue to go outside these church walls, you know, we have to say to ourselves, there's no cultural favorites in the eyes of our Lord. No social divide. All are worthy to hear the gospel. So God can take a little and make a lot out of it, and that's us, taking what we have and expanding the kingdom of God. In a step of faith, we can take that little and make it grow for the glory of God during the times of being inconvenienced. And let's just go to prayer before we get into our scriptures this morning. Father God, we just come before you. We lay these scriptures before you. We put our hearts before you and just ask you to encourage us to just run to you when we're asked to do something that may be out of our comfort zone. In your name, amen. So now we'll go to Matthew chapter 14, and we'll pick up on verse 13 of that chapter. And before this verse starts, before this chapter starts, John the Baptist has been beheaded by Herod for Herod wanted John the Baptist beheaded because his daughter wanted something requested, and Herod had to honor it. So she said, "I want John the Baptist beheaded and bring his head to me." So unfortunately, fortunately, John, went to heaven, but Jesus also was in a point where this relative of his, John is believed to be a cousin of Jesus, had died unexpectedly. And Jesus probably was trying to grieve, he was saddened, and he just needed the time to step back and just try to catch himself in that situation. So we pick up on verse 13, and when Jesus heard what had happened, that his relative had died, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. So right there, I've underlined compassion, because in the midst of whatever he was going through in his sadness, he saw that there were other needs, and many with afflictions and different diseases that just needed a touch from God, from Jesus in the flesh. So he stopped what he was doing in his grieving and sadness, and he decided it's time to take care of the Father's business. So he's being inconvenienced at that point, but he also knows that the Lord has required him to continue his work on earth. So as evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place. It's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Got to go back one. And buy themselves some food. Anyways, buy themselves some food. Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." So there's the challenge to the disciples. How are we going to feed all these people that you just ministered to, and now they're sitting here waiting for something else, for another miracle? So the disciples kind of feel inconvenienced because they're not sure what they're going to have to do. What are they going to have to do? Are they going to have to go out fishing, bring some food in, and try to take care of these people? So their faith is being challenged, or they're watching their teacher, our Lord, just kind of setting the stage for what follows next. And Jesus replied, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." And then they went on to say, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. So they're very confused at this point. So then Jesus, being God on earth, he says, "Okay, bring them here to me." And he does that. He brings the 5 loaves and the disciples bring the 5 loaves and the 2 fish to Jesus. And he directs the people to sit down. So he's getting ready to do his next miracle. He directs the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and he broke the loaves. So he knew that God would perform the miracle that he wanted, and it was to feed the people. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. So through all this, Jesus is sad. His relative has died unexpectedly. He still has to go about the Father's business of healing people with their illnesses, their sicknesses, whatever is wrong with them. Maybe a word of encouragement, we don't know. But then they still want to stay there, and the disciples are kind of caught up in, what do we do now? Boy, do we really feel inconvenienced. But Jesus showed him, just trust me. And I think that's what God is always telling us in all our situations. When those situations come up and we have to be inconvenienced, trust me, I'll take what little you have and we'll multiply it. And then after that, I don't have slides for this. This is verse 20. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up the 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. So we have, in this situation, people being satisfied for their need. God came through. Jesus came through even though he was inconvenienced, and trusting God was able to feed these people and meet their need. And I'm sure it just was such a blessing to the disciples, and probably a great teaching point for them, that God can do all things that need to be done. All things are possible when you trust God. So we go to now chapter 15 of Matthew. Now he's in a situation where he's left and walking along the Sea of Galilee. And then he went up to a mountainside and sat down. So we're setting up the same scenario here. Jesus has been ministering, probably teaching his disciples, encouraging people along the way, healing. We don't know, but we do know that he wants to sit down. Again, he feels he needs to have rest. He came in human form, so he's like all of us. He needs that time to rest. But then the great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled. So we have a better description of the different ailments and illnesses that Jesus had to take care of and heal. And the people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. They praised the God of Israel. They saw Jesus in action, and they saw that through him that he is the Son of God, and that he was able to heal people. Despite his weariness, or maybe just wanted to catch his breath, maybe hungry himself, he was inconvenienced at the time, but he also knew when he saw all those that were coming to him that had a need, that he needed to do the will of God. And Jesus had the ability to heal, and the people that were coming were sick and had these illnesses. So we're having the same situation as we had before. So we go to verse 32. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion. Again, he's saying, I have compassion for these people. He's already demonstrated. For these people have already been with me three days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. And then the disciples, now again, scratching their head, they've already seen what he's done with the 5,000, beginning to wonder, what's going to happen this time? And the disciples answered, where could we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd? And again, Jesus, being the Son of God, knowing the answer, how he's going to do things, says, how many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. And this time, there's 7 loaves. The disciples replied, and a few small fish. Then he tells the crowd to sit down on the ground, just like he did with the 5,000. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples. And they, in turn, gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. Again, Jesus being inconvenienced, he wanted to sit down. His disciples being faithful, giving him what little they had, and he's multiplying it. Faith in action takes a little and makes a lot. That's the conclusion I came after reading both Matthew 14 and 15 of the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000. So what can we learn from the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000? I went to this webpage, biblically based webpage called gotquestions.org. And what I read was this: Christians must bring their lives to God in a spirit of obedience and sacrifice. And with that, no matter how insignificant they may think their gifts or talents are from God. So I'm going to go back to that previous slide. Christians must bring their lives to God in experience, in a spirit of obedience and sacrifice. So those are two key things when we are ministering to others and when we are asking God what we should do. We have to have that spirit in us, that spirit of being able to obey, and that spirit of being able to sacrifice, which means setting aside our goals at the moment, our momentary concerns, and being able to move ahead, because that is God, wants us to do, to be in action. No matter how insignificant you may think your gifts or talents are, all of us have some sort of gift or talent God has given us. And at the right time, the right opportunity, God's going to open the door for you to use that gift. And it may not be when you're ready to go into church on Sunday morning or on your way home. It may be when you get home and all of a sudden the afternoon plans are starting to unravel, and then all of a sudden, whatever the situation is that really requires you to help somebody, to minister to somebody, that's when you'll see God say to you, your gift or talent is for now, whatever that may be. I can think back, I've shared this story before, this goes back probably 38 years ago. I was driving to Syracuse one morning on Interstate 81, and it was a winter's morning, and I remember Mrs. Joyce Wise, a classmate of mine's mother, was pulled over on the side of the road, and she had a flat tire, so I pulled over. I knew Mrs. Wise, and I probably was going to be a few minutes late to wherever I was going, but I saw that as an opportunity to really help Mrs. Wise out. All she needed me to do was jack up the car and put the spare on. And what was interesting, I asked Mrs. Wise, where are you headed? Oh, I'm headed to North Syracuse Baptist Church, and you've helped me get there on time for the 11 o'clock service. And I thought, well, that's good, you know. So she was speaking to me then, you know, about her obedience to go to church, and I just happened to be the player on the highway, and, you know, all I can think of is God said something to me that day, help Mrs. Wise out. So something as simple as that, you know, 30-some-odd liters sticks with me and reminds me of how maybe insignificant you think you are with your gifts or talents, but at the right time, you can use them. And the Word of God and God's Spirit just moves through you, and it also ministers to somebody else. Humility and service has been our theme shared for this year for New Covenant Community Church. A holy and living sacrifice is to take a few fish or whatever God has placed in your basket to share with others and proclaim the glory of God. I like what Paul writes in Romans 12, the first verse. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Worship. I looked up worship again this morning, the word worship. Worship is submitting, acknowledging God. Simple as that. And our day-to-day life is worship. God expects us to worship Him in all we do, not just when we come to a church service and we sing songs of praise and we're being fed the teaching or an encouragement from the pulpit. We are to worship God in all our actions, our thoughts, and whatever else that we are given in a day. Your basket, whatever's in your basket, may be just the testimony in how you came to Christ and made Him your Lord and Savior. That is one of the best things you can do in worshiping God, telling anyone how God has walked you through the process and brought you to the point where you are today serving Him. John chapter 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. He who believes in me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. So our spiritual walk, our way of being inconvenienced for God is to realize that He's going to feed you. He's going to feed you with the spiritual nourishment you need, the strength you need, and whatever the task is, God's going to feed you. You just have to believe that Jesus is that bread of life. And that goes back to our teachings this morning on Matthew 14 and 15. Think of that bread, how he multiplied it. He used that as an example, that the bread that he gave him was multiplied because it was his God-breathing life into that bread and those fish and feeding those people. So I guess, what is in your basket today? What can you share with others? The 4 and 5,000 were witnesses to what God can do when we give him our attention. We can be filled and refreshed spiritually, allowing Jesus to fill our spiritual hunger by allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and minds and humbly serve God for the task before us. Whatever the task is, you know, maybe you don't think just sitting there praying for somebody is significant. It's very significant. Even though that person may not be sitting next to you, you praying for that person, God's hearing those prayers. Sharing our faith, as I mentioned before, sharing your testimony, that is so significant. And the service you do, whatever that may be for somebody, you know, that's sharing God's love. And that's making yourself available. And once we are filled spiritually, we can take the little God has given us and we can really make it multiply and grow. God can make time for you to be available, and it's probably not going to be at the most convenient time. The most inconvenient times is when I've really had to serve God, and there's a number of certain things here in my walk with God and things I've had to do at the church. The timing was just not good. It couldn't be the worst time. You know, whether I had to rush from where I was to get here to do something or meet with somebody, it just wasn't inconvenient. But then I stepped back afterwards and I saw the blessing. And you know what? I'm going to struggle with that till the day I die. My time is my own. You know, it is the American thought. It is the American dream to have our time as our own. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't have time for rest. We shouldn't have time for vacation and family. Yes, all those things are important. But there's going to be those inconvenience times that you're going to have to make yourself available. And before you can do that, the one thing I want to share with everybody this morning in this room and those who are viewing, do you really know the one true living God? Before you really can identify yourself at serving God, you have to know God. And that starts with knowing Jesus. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me except through the Father. We have to have that personal relationship with Jesus. We have to accept his saving grace, that he died on the cross for our sins, that we couldn't do it. And then we have to allow him to lead us. And maybe you haven't done that yet in your life. Maybe you're watching today or in this room and you're still not ready to take that leap of faith. Well, now is as good a time as any, so let's all just bow our heads and just ask God to lead us and direct us today. Father God, we just thank you. And for those that don't know you as Lord and Savior, in order for them to make themselves available, they have to know you as the true, loving, and saving God. So I pray for those that don't know you, that they'll take this moment and just cry out to you, Jesus, I need you to forgive me of my sin. I need you to lead my life. I just can't do it on my own. And then I just want you to trust you in what I do and just look to you daily. And for those of us that have walked with the Lord for a number of years, it's always good to remind ourselves that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and our own efforts sometimes just aren't going to make it. They're a little futile at times. So as we step back and want to make ourselves available for God, we have to remember that God first has to lead us through his son, Jesus. And let's not lose sight of that. And Lord God, we just thank you for this day. And whatever leads us in the day ahead or the week ahead, let's just be available to share your love and grace with others. In your name, amen. Thank you. Pastor Dick.
So I guess the question is, what is in your basket? You know, Tom talked about that. A lot of this ties into what I believe Joanne encouraged us in the beginning, is not to hold back. You know, as I referenced a little while ago, you know, Bill telling us, you know, God loves us, he's not mad at us. There are so many things the enemy throws our way so that we just sit back in our chairs and not do anything. And one thing that God is doing in New Covenant is he's telling us, you know what? Humility and service, I want what's in your basket. What has God given you? He wants to use it so that he gets glorified. So I just want to encourage, you know, what just, again, offer yourself to God. You know, none of you is insignificant, but let me, I know Tom did, but prayer is a good thing. Close your eyes, Lord. We come before you. We're not going to settle, Lord God. We are going to grasp for every single thing you have for us. Lord, that we're going to step out in fear. I mean, hope not, in faith, Lord. We are so like the disciples when they saw you feed the thousands and then it just happened a while later and they still had doubts. Lord, if we're honest, we have doubts. We have doubts that you're calling us, Lord, to share the good news to people that we know that don't know you, Lord. Father, let us not have the fear of man. Let us walk faithfully, trusting you that when we offer ourselves to you, whatever is in our basket, you will use that, Lord God. The outcome is yours. The effort is ours. Lord, I just pray, Father, that we would just trust you. Throughout this whole service, Lord, I just felt like you wanted to encourage people in this room to stop listening to the lies of who you are. For when you ask Christ for forgiveness and ask him into your life, you are a new creation. So, Lord, we just come before you today, Father. Let us walk in that victory. And they all said,
amen.
Have an awesome day. Blessings.
Oh, I don't know. Give me a